Thanks for tuning into Coffee at KYUK. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. As the school year approaches, the Bethel 4-H is making its fall plans. The program provides year-round activities for youth, including meal programs and after-school childcare. The Bethel 4-H operates under the University of Alaska Fairbanks and is working with UAF on developing these plans. I talked with Kelly Johnson about what the Bethel community can expect so far for this fall. Kelly Johnson is the assistant director of the Bethel 4-H program. Some plans are still up in the air at this point, but what are the Bethel 4-H's current plans for the fall?
Okay, so we are working on a plan to see what the school year is going to look like. So normally we would have 50 kids in the building, and we would have our after-school program going on. It's daily. The kids come after school. They get snacks, and we do a lesson, activity, nutrition lesson some days. And so with the university and with COVID in place, we won't be able to have that same structure. So now we're in the planning process of talking about and looking at what options we have. Because we get so much support from the city, from the university, from ABCP, that we need to see what things are going to look like. So we recently purchased a new program and curriculum called Camp Invention, and it's a STEM kit. And there's a bunch of different STEM kits that are already pre-prepped and ready to be distributed. And so that's what we're looking at, to have probably some smaller cohorts, so probably 10 to 15 kids within each cohort, and have them meet possibly outside. You know, we can't have anyone in the building as of right now. And then also hosting some online sessions, some weeklies, or maybe 3 times a week we would do Zoom sessions on updates on how their kit is going. So we're going to have parents sign up. There'll be a small fee to pay just because of, like, the value and the quality of the kit that we've invested in. And so we'll have parents sign their kids up, and then be a part of that Camp Invention small club, so to say. And parents will be able to sign up at any point. So you don't have to. If you figure out the first week, we're not really interested, but the next week we are, we're allowing parents to sign up whenever they see best fit. So that's what we're looking at right now.
When you say that there would be a small fee involved, how much would that be?
So we're looking at possibly $25. So normally we wouldn't charge for our kits. We've been doing kits the entire summer now, and they've been a huge hit when parents come by to pick up meals for our summer meal program. They also have a kit and a recipe that goes with that kit weekly. So, but like I said, because we invested so much into this program, and we want to hold some value and some, you know, some accountability to our families, and, you know, we're charging just a $25 fee possibly for registration for this club. So that's what we're looking to do with this upcoming school year.
What questions are you waiting to be answered by the University of Alaska Fairbanks?
So right now, mitigation plans are being put in place to kind of determine what the fall is going to look like. So Bethel 4-H is a unique program because we're the only site-based program in Alaska. So what I mean by site-based, we have our own facility. We have our own building, and we meet daily. Like, we meet year-round. We're either having after-school club, we're having winter clubs, we're having spring break clubs. So with the university, we're waiting to hear back from them. What numbers can we have for face-to-face meetings? Whether that be one family, like right now, you can only do one family at a time. So we have 4 to 5 staff as of right now. So each of us will be able to meet with one family, probably, you know, in a different room. So what we're waiting to hear back from them now is, will that number increase? Will we even be able to have club? Will we have to look for some resources to do clubs outside? So that's what we're waiting on to hear back from the university, what those numbers are going to look like, and if we can even have those small cohorts of in the building or outside of the building.
Before the pandemic started, before the lockdowns associated with the pandemic started, what did the after-school program at 4-H look like? You mentioned having 50 kids in a building at one time. So how many days a week was it open? What hours? What ages of students were coming?
So like I said, our program is super, super unique. And so our normal club would be for ages K through 6. We would start around 3:15 in the afternoons, and we'll go to 5:36 o'clock. So LKSD, we have bus number 4, and they would drop the kids off at the center, and from there, we have the day laid out. They'll sign in, they'll have snack, we'll do a lesson, whatever the theme is for that week. We always theme our week so that there's something different going on, you know, to get everybody engaged. Maybe you're not interested this week, but next week you're interested in the theme. We have a nutrition lesson, maybe a cooking lesson, STEM lesson, something. We always have a lesson within that. And so that's sort of how our daily routine would go with regular after-school club. And then we also have our smaller clubs, well, our clubs outside of our after-school club. So the Iversons, they ran our soccer club and did an amazing job. They had a great turnout every year. They had a great number of families that were very interested and active in soccer clubs. We also have the swim club through, well, the sports club through the pool. And Stacy Reardon, she ran that program. She had great participation as well. And recently, we put in a research request to have a teen program, a teen garden program, which got approved. And so we had a group of 10 or 11 teens that spearheaded our garden. They started our garden from seed, tilled the garden, and those students got paid through the LKSD teen work program. And Delilah and Zoe Trey, they ran that They assigned those students to us, and it was a great program. They also helped run the meals that we would distribute, and we're still doing them as well. But those students were able to have those 10 teens in the building sporadically. I'll say that. We weren't inside all of the time, but the thing is they were able to run that garden, and we were able to do that small club program, and those teens were able to get paid. So it was very valuable for them and for us. As well as them learning to prep the kits. So when I'm talking about kits, I'm talking about these activity kits that we put in place for families that, you know, families are trying to get used to this whole homeschooling idea and finding activities for their kids. So Bethel 4-H light bulb went off in our head and was like, well, how can 4-H still be present in the homes of our families and in the community without us being physically present? And so that was a huge project that, and like I said, we're still continuing to do so, and it's been very effective, as well as our meal program.
This summer, the Bethel 4-H was able to run the teen gardening program through at least the first part of the summer, and then also to do its meals program. Was it able to offer other programs this summer?
We were limited because with the university, we were having to put in, if you wanted to run a program, it had to go through a research exemption form first, so it had to be approved first. So we were limited, and we didn't want to, you know, you don't want to ask for too much because we're all trying to figure out what things are going to look like, how to be as safe as we can and sanitizing and all that good stuff. So we were limited, but what really helped us out was being able to provide for the Bethel community, and that is providing that food and that snack. We also had Salvation Army food. So families that maybe had some adults and kids our meal snacks are only for if you are for from 0 to 18, and, you know, a child is a few months can't eat the snack anyway. But we had Salvation Army food. So those families that were larger, we were able to give out box food. So we weren't really able, like I said, we weren't really able to answer your question, to host any other programs. You know, we were limited. And so we kind of did what we could with what we had. And that was pushing that meal program, pushing those kits for families to have things to do at home, and having those teens get out of the house and be able to make some money, but also learn something and be a part of something, a project that they can look at and say, hey, we did this. This is our first time doing the gardening project. And we did, you know, have some ownership and some accountability for it. So that was really nice.
And what happened to the produce that came of that garden?
So because the teen program, the LKSD teen work program, was only a month, they took care of it, took care of the garden up to their last day, so June 26th. And from there, Bethel 4-H staff, we've been managing the garden, of course. We put up a shed out there, and right now staff is, you know, harvesting the produce. And we plan to, the idea is to have families come out and do like a free harvest for families. So you can come out and kind of harvest what you want, because we have enough. We don't want to sell it. You know, we don't want to sell it. That's not what we want. But just have families come out and, you know, have the opportunity to look at the garden, possibly just harvest what they want. But that also has to get approved. So that's the other thing. But as of right now, the 4-H staff, we've been taking care of it. It's been doing very, very well. And just learning, you know, it's been a learning experience for all of us. My background is in ag, but at the same time, I wasn't boots on the ground. I was ag business. So it's been learning. It's been fun and a learning experience for all of us. So with the produce, that's what we're thinking, just to have families come out, you know, and enjoy kind of what we've grown.
Mm-hmm. What will the meal program look like leading into the fall?
So meal program for the beginning of the fall will definitely look like what we've been doing. So this summer, so we were doing meal distribution Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 4 to 6 p.m., 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and parents can come and pick up, like I said, could come and pick up anytime between 4 and 6. You pick up once a week. We'll still hold that same schedule, and you'll get a week's worth of meals for each child. It doesn't matter how many children you have. We've had families with 11 in them, so we're there, and you don't have to be signed. I know that's a question that a lot of families had as well, but you do not have to be signed up for 4-H to come and get meals from the 4-H Center. You don't have to be signed up for 4-H. And so we'll continue that throughout the fall until we get word that we can have kids at the center, because the way that you distribute meals depends on the structure is different. So with everything going on, we kind of got some waivers in place that allow us to do, you know, different things, which is awesome. So, but for the first part, going into the school year, families can look to have the same structure as we had this summer, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 4 to 6.
Bethel has very, very limited child care options. And one of the big questions right now is, what are schools going to be doing? How can parents who have children in school also hold down a job during this time? What questions have you been hearing from parents, questions or concerns?
The biggest question and concern is kind of just what you just said, was what is 4-H going to look like in the fall? We have a huge footprint in Bethel. Like I said, now that we don't have kids daily at the center, it plays a huge, you can see the difference. Even though we don't have club, there's kids that come to get meals and kids that come to the center that are asking, you know, when can we come to 4-H? Or just parents, you see them around town and they're asking, hey, what's 4-H looking like? What's 4-H going to look like? When are you all opening? And so our response is, you know, right now everything is just up in the air. But honestly, like I said, we just have a large footprint, and it's going to make a difference. I think, and I say it all the time, it may sound cliche, but the youth are the future, for one. But for Bethel, with it being such a small community, the youth are the most valuable group, I think, in Bethel. You know, though, that it for sure is the future. And so without us having that footprint, not sure what it's going to look like. You know, we hope that at some point we're able to say, they're able to say, hey, we really, really need you all. Let's put some things in place where you all are, where we're following these specific mitigation plans and cleaning and following these different processes. But at the same time, we need you all open. And so that's what we're hoping to get word out of. Like, we need you all open. Like, our clubs, some of our clubs, some of the families that ran our clubs are not running them this summer, because so we won't have some of the sports clubs that we've had because of what's going on, and they're worried about their families and they need to tend to their families, you know. So those are the main questions that we're getting to answer your question. When are you all opening? You know, what's the word on 4-H? You know, what can we look to see in the fall?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And so yeah, all we can do is kind of work with what we have right now and in hopes to be able to have that footprint again, you know, to help our families, because we want to make sure that we're responding to the needs of our families, basically.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just want to say that, you know, a lot of the organizations in Bethel have been super, super duper supportive of the Bethel 4-H program. This is my third year in Bethel, and I've seen the growth within the program from when I first moved here in 2018. And so it's been rewarding to see and just be a part of restructuring and knowing these families and knowing the different partners that we work with, you know, and just the support. You know, I'm from Atlanta, so it's not as intimate, you know. Nothing is as intimate as being in Bethel. And so I just want to say that the support from everyone in Bethel and the drive to make sure that the youth are put on the, you know, on the front line, that's the priority. It's good to know that people are actually like, we need to be talking about this. We need to see what options are out there, see what we can do to make sure that the youth and their families' needs are being met. So that's it.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
And I just wish you, the whole 4-H program, the best of luck this fall with everything that's going on and all the hard questions that have to be answered and navigated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Kelly Johnson is the Assistant Director for the Bethel 4-H Program.